Oh, it's a pig!
Welcome to the Lake Erie Kayak Anglers Podcast, the podcast designed to make you a better angler. I'm Chuck Earls from LakeErieKayakFishing.com, and today we have a special guest. We have Dean Roth on. Dean is the founder and operator of the Homeless Hookup CLE organization, which makes a huge impact in our community. Dean, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me. Honored to be able to spread awareness. Awareness is so crucial to the cause, so thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us. So tell me a little bit about the Homeless Hookup CLE.
It's a loaded question. There's a lot of layers to it. I will I can break it down
a little bit easier for you.
Okay.
So let's start with what was the inspiration that generated this idea, and when did you start it?
I started Homeless Hookup in 2014. The idea kind of stemmed in 2009 is actually when the idea started to really build up. I myself was homeless. I had spent some time on the streets. I was in the military. So let's rewind. I was a veteran of the Enduring Freedom conflict. So when 9/11 happened, when the planes hit the towers, I wasn't in America. I was actually on my way to the Persian Gulf already to patrol from the original Desert Storm. We always keep a fleet out in the Persian Gulf to patrol, and it was our turn to go patrol. And right. So our 6-month deployment turned into 11 months. I came back from overseas and just cut loose, man. Was drinking like a fish, man, like a sailor, drinking like a sailor. Right. Got out of the military, continued drinking as I was, but did not have Uncle Sam there to take care of me. So I found myself homeless. I had family that cares about me, but you can only burn so many bridges. And then that's what had happened with my drinking. Found myself homeless, and then 2008 realized that this is not the life I want to live anymore. I felt like I was just, this is not who I am. So I quit drinking, got myself sober, cleaned up, went to the Keating Center. A guy named Jack Mulhall saved my life. I love that man to death. he saved my life. And then, so I was fighting professionally when I came into the Keating Center. I fought MMA professionally for 8 years. And I had told Jack that I had signed up for a fight. And I said, I got a fight coming up, and I've either got to cancel the fight or train for it, but I'm here, so what do I do? And he says, did you sign a contract? I said, yeah. Well, Jack was teaching me how to be a sober person, how to be a man again. And he said, men honor their contracts. If you sign a contract, you're going to show up for that fight. He says, you find somebody with 6 months of sobriety or more, and you can go on a run with them, or they can ride a bike next to you, however you want to do it. So I did. We would sign out every day and I would go train. But one of the days I ran over to what is now my ex-wife's house, and she got pregnant and I have my son. Well, to make a long story short, I was getting sober. I was fighting professionally. I found out I was going to be a dad. I had all this stuff happening to me. So I wanted to reach out to my biological father and kind of let him know what was going on. I hadn't talked to him in a while, and I found out he died homeless. So to sum it up, I was homeless. My dad died homeless. I had some other family history with it. And I just realized with my son on the way, this is not the legacy I wanted to leave behind. I wanted our family to have something else behind it besides homelessness. So we decided we were going to give back. We were going to be on the opposite side of it, you know? So when he was old enough in 2014, we did a clothing drive. And that just, it was crazy. We got too many clothes. So we sort of whittled it down to donate hygiene supplies. I was working as a personal trainer at a bunch of boxing clubs, and I was seeing people buy tickets to my fight. They would buy shirts and merchandise and beer at the fights. And I'm thinking, they can afford a pack of socks. I can afford a bar of soap. So I started putting donation bins inside the boxing clubs. And I would fill up bags and go downtown and hand them out. And that's how it started. Today, and then, so fast forward a little bit, we did that for a few years. My brother, what he does is he installs fire suppression systems, and he was doing a job, and the fire marshal was supposed to come out and inspect it, but they were late because they were helping a homeless guy. And my brother gives the fire marshal my business card, and he says, why don't you call my brother? That's what he does for a living, and you won't have to be late. You can just call him. So the fire department called me, and they said, you know, we got this guy. What can you do for him? And I mean, we, true to our name, we hooked him up. We got him a brand new pair of snow boots. We got him socks, clothes, sleeping bag, food. And well, the fire department was like really impressed by what we did. So they asked, you know, how can we give back to your cause? And that was a big thing. You know, the fire department wanted to help out, you know, that's part of the city. So I said, you know, I saw these shower buses in California, and I feel like Cleveland deserves to have them, but I'm having a hard time getting a hold of RTA. Since you're with the city, could you maybe hook me up with that? And he goes, not really. They're kind of their own thing. He goes, but my family has an old RV and they're not using it anymore. We're going to donate it to you. I'm like, what? Really? He's like, yeah. So the fire marshal gave me his family RV, just 100%, no charge. And then he goes, you know, the fire department really likes this and they want to be involved, the firefighters. Do you mind if they have a lot of time off in between calls? Do you mind if they work on it and make it into what you want? And I was like, yeah, I'll have my other guys take the day off, you know, like, because I didn't have any backup plan. This is all falling into my lap. So next thing I know, I've got the fire department installing a barber's chair, hardwood floors, clothing rack in the back. They put a heater on the shower so it like constantly has hot water. And we were good to go. I had my mobile hygiene bus, my very first one. The front end was a barber shop. The back end, what was the bedroom, was now a thrift store. And the shower room. So we were giving out clothes, haircuts, showers, food, setting up our community events. And that's where we are today. That RV has since been retired. It had 500,000 miles on it, and it was a gas engine. I don't know if there's any mechanics that listen to this, but that's like
5 miles like a gallon.
It's like a unicorn. Gas vehicles don't make 500,000 miles. You know what I mean? Like, right. That thing was well taken care of, but it was starting to spend more time in the shop than it was on the road. So this company named Optum came along and wrote us a check for a new RV, and then they wrapped it, and then they paid to have it retrofitted. And then we had some money left over from that donation. So we bought our ambulance, which is now our mobile distribution center, because the RV can't go out in the winter. You know, it's got to be winterized. You know, the pipes freeze. So, and without a shower and the ability to cut hair, it's a mobile closet, which I can do right with an ambulance, which costs a lot less money to drive around. You know, so and that's what we do. That's how we got here. And that's where we're at today. Yeah.
Wow. What city was the fire department?
That Lakewood.
Lakewood.
That was Lakewood Fire Department. And I think he's fire chief now. I shouldn't even say he was fire marshal at the time. Fire Chief Dunphy. That guy, Cleveland doesn't know it, but they've got a grandpa, and he's like Cleveland's grandpa. Like that dude. Like, you know how like you could, if you like, or like your dad, you know, like. You have a car problem, you call him up, and he said, "I'll find you. I'm on my way to help you out. You know, you need to jump. Yeah, I'll find out." Like, he's homeless hookups grandpa, like our dad. Like, he's been that for us. You know,
that's so awesome. Guy. You know, yeah. A good buddy of mine, he has this thing on his website, and it says, "You know, if you just get the ball rolling, people will come out of the woodwork to help you." You know, and this is a perfect example. I mean. That's so powerful.
Well, I tell people a lot, like, I'm not secretive about my history. I'm an alcoholic, homeless felon. It's a very low grade felony. I got drunk and broke into some cars, but regardless, and now on my birthday, I fill out an application to light Tower City Red to raise awareness for homelessness. How in the world did a drunk, homeless felon start a cause that lights Tower City?
Right.
It's like, here's how, and I tell people this, when you consistently do, I tell my son this all the time too, when you're consistently doing the right, I've never seen somebody fall so far down on their face that when they're consistently doing the right thing that they can't get back up.
Absolutely. It just doesn't.
When you're consistently doing the next right thing and you're just trying to do the little things right, the next step will present itself. You can call it God, the universe, whatever you want. But when you're praying to it, it has three answers. Yes, no, and not now. Sometimes we have to be patient, but the next step will present itself. And I firmly believe that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just to, on your friend's point, he's absolutely right. Yeah.
Man, that's amazing. So at this point, what are the different ways that Homeless Hookup CLE is able to make a difference in the community?
That's a humbling question. I feel weird. I feel like it kind of like that's a, let me pat myself on the back here real quick kind of a question. Geez. I mean, we do 100 every week. I see I'm getting all squirmy. Every week we get 150 lunches from a church in Brunswick called St. Ambrose. And so, I mean, I can tell you right now, we are at least 150 people a week times once to twice a week since 2000 and say, well, we've been doing the lunches for a year and a half now. And then how many hygiene packets before that? I had a free thrift store for a while. Somebody had donated their space. And that was 227 people got free clothes there. Our toy drive, we did something like 900 kids. So it was like 300 families. It was insane. So the numbers, I look at these numbers sometimes. And again, just looking back, I couldn't even help myself. I was at a point in life, I couldn't even help myself. And then I look at the numbers like, oh my God, like thousands, but it's been thousands of people we've served.
One of the best things about it is you're a perfect example for the people that are in your situation. You know what I mean? Because you've taken that situation and you've turned everything around and basically, you know, started living a life to serve others. And when you do that, like you said, each next step presents itself. And that gives something great for people to watch, you know, like the people that are coming to your events. I mean, you're a real life success story. You know what I mean? Like you said, you don't want to pat yourself on the back. Well, you know, I'm here to pat you on the back, man. I think it's an amazing thing, and it's very inspirational, and it's something special, you know, to add to this amazing community that we have.
You know, it's hard to pat myself on the back for one reason. I stress, you know, I have a lot of people telling me, oh, it's so awesome, it's such a great thing you started, right? But I'm like telling you right now, like, guys, wake up. Do you realize, like, helping others, and we said this earlier, is self-care,
right?
If you knew how selfish this cause was, it keeps me sober. Like I would be dead or in jail if it wasn't for this. Like, please don't thank me. I'm saving my life. I'm saving my ass here. Like, I'm glad it benefits others. But at the end of the day, I want my son to have a father.
Right.
And if I'm not giving back, if I'm not taking myself outside of myself, I'm not going to stay that way. I'm not going to be a good father. I'm not going to stay sober. I'm not, you know, it comes down to, and I can very much tell you why, like, helping others is self-care, is because if you're having a bad day, I tell this all the time, here's a life hack. Go give a homeless person a dollar and tell them about your problems. I'm not saying it's going to solve your problems, but it's going to put them in perspective real quick.
Absolutely.
You know, it's hard to have a bad day when you're down there and you're helping these people at their, on the lowest rung of their life. And then not only that, but I remember where I was. It's a constant reminder that what my bad decisions will take me back to.
Right.
If I don't stay out there helping them, I will be with them. So it's entirely a selfish cause. And I wish more people would see how selfish giving back can be. I think, like I said earlier, the world would be a lot better place, man. I've heard people say this, you know, we take pictures of some of the events we do. And when we go out to help, because I like people to know that their donations are out there making a difference. Some people will, you know, oh, hey, that's my code. I donated that code, you know? So that's kind of cool. Also, it spreads awareness and lets people know, like, hey, this is happening right, like 10 miles from you, man, 20 miles from you. This is in your city, right? It's good because a lot of people, like, I don't want to call out different cities, but they live in a bubble. And I don't recommend them go down to 2100 and spend the day, right? Because they're not accustomed to that. So let me bring that bubble to you, right? And it really puts it in people's face. And also with it, we it just spreads awareness. I kind of forget where I was going with that point, but it was back to the, you know, helping others is self-care. Bottom line. I know what it was. When people see me, they're like, oh, well, you know, you're just taking, you know, you're helping others to get that picture or whatever. Is it? Who cares why somebody does something good? Who cares what the motivation behind a good deed is? Could you imagine if we all just started doing good deeds for selfish reasons?
The world would be so much better.
Who cares what somebody's motivation or intrinsic reason behind helping somebody that's down is? Don't belittle someone because they're doing something good. Ask yourself why you're judging them.
Right. That's a great point. Yep.
Yeah. I hear it a lot. There's so much negativity on social media. I like to, all our posts are positive. It's about the impact your donations are making. It's about the impact that Cleveland is having, because this is no longer my organization. It stopped being mine and like when I got that RV, because I have board members. Most people have one mom. I have seven.
Right.
I can't move without their say-so. Our number's on 211 as an emergency line, so we're always on call.
And what areas do you cover currently? How far is your reach?
We've gone as far as Mahoning. We're going to be branching out we've really kind of focused primarily on Cuyahoga. The need's pretty large out there. But we're, this summer, this season, we're branching out. We're going to be going to Portage. We're going to Lake County. We're just each year we try to make it a little bigger.
Yep.
But if somebody's in need, how do I tell them no? I go where we're needed, man. That's why I said we went as far as, I think we went to Akron, Youngstown. We went to Youngstown once last year too. So we go where we're needed.
Right.
Yeah.
So you had mentioned the hygiene packs. What are those?
And thanks for asking me about that, man. That's like the staple to our organization, because like a lot of people put care packages together. Nobody does it like us. I said it slow for the people that might not understand me if I said it any faster. I am not afraid to be competitive about my care packages. I dare another organization to say their care package is better than homeless hookups. They call us the hookup because that's just what we do. Here's what's in our care packages, man, top to bottom. So you got all your basic hygiene needs. You got your soap, shampoo, conditioner, toothbrush, toothpaste, comb, right? And a washcloth. Those are all basics. In addition to that, we put in socks. We put in rain poncho, hand warmers, protein bar. For the women, we put in the feminine hygiene products. We got those in there. We also add floss or dental picks, chapstick. In the colder months, we add cough drops. And then we add two cigarettes. A lot of people, why say you shouldn't be giving away cigarettes? You're going to kill people with those things. Man, let's get people off the streets and then we'll tell them about cancer if they don't already know about it. And here's the other thing, like, if you're actually paying attention to the mental health community like we do, there are studies that show that when you're in the middle of a mental health crisis or a schizophrenic breakdown, nicotine can actually calm your anxiety and bring like your certain receptors down to a level where you're not in a state of mania anymore, or you're able to rationalize and talk to them while they have that cigarette, because the nicotine actually does, right? So I'll debate that all day long, but yeah, that's why our care packages are the best. Oh, I forgot, you know, we put condoms in them too, and Narcan if they need it. Narcan is one of the ways. That's a big thing. We should talk about that. But that's also in our care packages. So that's it. I think I'm probably forgetting something, but they're thorough, man.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good pack. You wanted to talk a little bit about the Narcan in there?
I do, very much. That's a huge part of our program right now. So I do this full time. This is my full time job. And it wasn't my full-time job until 2019. It got to a point where even my own mom was telling me, Dean, if something doesn't happen with this organization, you might have to give it up, which would never happen in a million years. But I was spending a lot of my own time, money, and resources. And I had a job and bills to pay and a son. And, you know, it was getting a bit much. But then I had a company come along and they asked me if I wanted to be, instead of them starting their own nonprofit, they figured it would just be easier to take us on as their nonprofit. So we worked it out through this legal thing where, like, it's still mine, but it's their subsidiary and we could part ways at any time. The thing was, they were going to pay me a salary to run my organization. I'm like, where do I, like, shut up and take my money. Where do I sign up? Right. Like, right. This is a dream come true for me. I was going to get insurance and a salary to run my organization. And the premise was they were going to float me my salary, until I secured a grant to take care of myself. And that day came, and that brings me to our Narcan. The Ohio Department of Health issued us a grant that is good through the end of 2023. And that's how I pay my salary, which is important. I feel people know that when they donate, like if I get a donation from, like, say, the St. Francis Foundation, which is, you know, they're huge for us, or somebody does a Facebook fundraiser for us, or they go to PayPal and make a donation, that all goes back into the events. That goes to me putting fuel in the RV or the distribution center. That goes to me buying coffee before I go out and hand out donations on a cold day. It goes to paying. Sometimes when I have a food truck come to an event, paying for the food, for the catering on that. You know, it goes back to the homeless community. It's the money that funds our 211 emergency assistance money. So I think it's important that people know that, yes, I do this full time. No, you're not paying my salary.
Right.
The Ohio Department of Health has me taken care of till the end of 2023. And I have board members that are working on what happens after that. So.
That's great. You know, it's great that people step up, not just the Ohio Department of Health, but a lot of other individuals donate as well. You know, not just monetary items to buy, you know, supplies for the hygiene packs, but even the stuff to go inside of them, as well as clothing and stuff like that.
Speaking of which, I don't want to interrupt you, but I do need to tell you, with the hygiene packets and donating those on our website, although it hasn't been updated since like 1973, there's a wish list on there. You can go click on that link and it will take you to the items that we need for our hygiene packets. And instead of donating money, you can just click on one of those items and they will mail directly to me.
Awesome. I will absolutely list that that link in the description.
Yeah,
so cool. That anybody can get to it real quick.
Yeah, we need to update our website, man. It's got so much dust on it. But again, it's all about, you know, we operate a lot on volunteers, and finding somebody to do that's a big job for a volunteer.
Right.
Anybody listening wants to jump out there and take that on.
So how many events would you say that that usually you host annually?
How many events would we host annually?
Yeah, like it's aside from when you go out and you pass out hygiene packs, and, you know, when you show up to help out a specific person or something like that, like, do you set up certain events to kind of draw the crowd in, and like potlucks and stuff like that, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And actually, we just posted our schedule for 2022, where we're going to be, when we're going to be there. But it was my goal for this month to get the mobile hygiene bus out at least 2 times a month. You know, I would like to get it out more, but with the resources and barbers are only really available on Sundays. And I just, you know, want to burn people out asking for a lot of help. And we got a lot of events to do, a lot of cities to go to. So we're going to do one major community event every month. And then we will drive the RV out into the city and just do outreach with it. Just find people in tent encampments and sleeping on the street. Guaranteed twice a month, community events once a month. But we're open to invites if we can find the resources for the event.
Interesting. That's awesome. So how can people volunteer?
I mean, I'm very accessible. My phone number, like I said, it's on 211. It's on our Facebook page. You can contact me through Facebook. We have an Instagram. Thanks to my son, we now have a TikTok. Thanks to my 12-year-old. He's doing a bang up job with that. And we got our website. So, and for those who need it, my number, I put it out there because, like I said, we do, it's our emergency line, is 440-591-9967. That's our hotline. That's our outreach line. It's on 24 hours a day, 365, 7 days a week. Now, there will be times somebody will say, hey, I saw a gentleman on the exit ramp. Can you get over there and help him? I mean, I might be indisposed, but we will get to the problem as fast as we can and the best we can.
Right.
So yeah, volunteer opportunities is, you know, Facebook is a good way to reach out, and the phone. I will personally have probably direct them to our volunteer coordinator, Lisa Jackson. But yeah, we can get them set up, and there's a lot of opportunity. And, you know, when we take the distribution center out right now, We welcome volunteers for ride-alongs on that as well. Right now, it's in the shop. It's had some issues. I took it down to Columbus for a veterans presentation, a group down there called Dress Right Dress. And sure enough, on the way back, transmission started sputtering on me. So it'll be about a week or two before that thing's back in service.
And I meant to ask you earlier, what branch of the military were you in?
I was in the Navy.
The Navy, that's kind of what
not regrettable, not repeatable.
We will be back after the short break. Storm damage got you down? Don't go through the roof. Call Journey Home Restoration to schedule a free storm damage analysis. If damage is found, they will then work with your insurance company to get you a new roof at no cost to you. Give them a call at 440-454-2020.
Don't forget to tell them that Chuck Earl sent you.
So I had this idea, you know, me and a bunch of my friends, we catch a lot of walleye, along with the Lake Erie Walleye Trail and a lot of the other walleye tournaments that go on throughout the year. So I was thinking, how cool would it be to have an event where, you know, we set up, you bring the bus, and we just give them fresh walleye, you know, bring them in, give them a morale boost, and let them enjoy this magical, awesome food that we get from the lake.
Oh, I absolutely love it. I mean, that's why, yeah, those community events is for that purpose. So many of these neighborhoods, it's when the news is there, it's not good. So let's bring these people out of the house. Let's let them celebrate their neighborhood. Let's let them celebrate each other. Let's give them a reason to dance in the streets, man, play some music, have a fish fry. Hell yes, I love it.
Absolutely. You know, even though it's, 20 degrees outside, I will still say it. I believe we live in one of the best places in the world.
100%. I've been around the world twice. I mean, I've been in Thailand. I've been to Singapore. Everywhere I've been, I couldn't wait to get home to Cleveland.
Yep.
That's the truth, brother. Everywhere I went, I wanted to come home. I love Cleveland, man. So, yeah, it's my city.
Yep. Yeah, that sounds awesome. I'll try to put a strategy together for you, and you know, we'll pick some dates, pick some locations, and man, I think it would be really cool. It would be a really cool event, and maybe even promote, you know, picking up the trash along the way. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that anybody in specific or particular is, you know, making trash, but, you know, how many times have you seen the garbage truck driving down the road and the trash flying out of it? So if each person, instead of stepping over it, just bend down, pick up a pop bottle, throw it in the next trash can you come across, you know, give back to the fish that's given back to you and this magical community that we live in.
Yeah. Well, you know what happens to the tent encampments when the police bust them?
No.
Nothing.
Nothing.
They'll tear down the tents, they'll scatter the trash, and they leave it there.
Oh, wow.
It's trash. It looks terrible. You know, it's not so much the homeless making these messes. It's the city breaking up these tent encampments and leaving the stuff there.
Right. You
know? So yeah, that'd be great, man. You guys are awesome for even thinking about it.
Yeah. Let's put that together.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, before we end it, is there anything else that you wanted to mention about this awesome organization that you've created?
Oh, man. No, I just, like I said, I can't state this enough. Awareness is everything. So for the people that are listening, you know, just if you go home and tell your significant other about it, if you tell somebody you're working about us, because maybe if you can't make a donation, but you tell somebody about it that can, you've got 50% stock in that donation. Somebody donates $25, you've got $10 of that 20 in there, because without you, they wouldn't have found out about us and made it. So awareness is everything. And just to everybody listening, I'm grateful for any awareness. You know, this is Cleveland's organization. So I'm the boots on the ground.
Man, I'm so happy to have you on today. Thanks for everything that you do, and continue to be the change that you want to see in the world. Dean, it's been a pleasure, man. Thank you.
Thanks, brother. I really appreciate you, man.
Absolutely.
All right, brother.
Before we end the show, I want to give a special shout out to Jason Kaser at Journey Home Restoration for sponsoring this episode and donating funds to help Homeless Hookup CLE help more people in need. Thank you so much for your support. Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the show. Don't forget to leave us a review and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast listening app. We will see you on the next episode. And remember, for me, fishing is life.